facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A wonderful Wednesday to you. It's the 24th of April, 2024. Welcome to the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149 is the number to call to talk to me for free. Our listener line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance. 888-914-9149. You can, of course, email the program as well. The address is Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. Follow me on the X app at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. So, yeah, grab a line right now. I got a couple of open phone lines, 888-914-9149. Hey, some big news came out of the Vatican about Padre Pio. Now, of course, Padre Pio is one of the most popular saints of all time, one of the most popular saints in the world. And I read an amazing quote about Padre Pio by Cardinal Siri. Now, and yeah, his last name is spelled exactly the same way as Apple's ubiquitous virtual assistant, but Cardinal Giuseppe Siri certainly gave much better answers than Apple's assistant. And here's what he said. Cardinal Siri, by the way, he was an Italian cardinal who died in 1989, but this is what he said about St. Padre Pio. He said, "Jesus died on the cross for us, and the entire theology of redemption rests on this truth, one of the principal tenets of our faith. This truth is so important that whenever people have forgotten it or have sought to find it, God has always intervened with events, deeds, and miracles. In our time, the temptation to forget the reality of the body of Christ is enormous, and God sent this man with the task of calling us back to the truth." So that was Cardinal Siri talking about St. Pio of Pietrelcina, of course, St. Padre Pio, who, of course, was a stigmatist, the stigmatic saint. He had the wounds of Christ from his passion. And that's a really important thing that Cardinal Siri said, that sometimes people forget not only the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross, but when people forget the reality of the body of Christ, the incarnation, God needs to send us little reminders. And sometimes those reminders are really personal in the person of Padre Pio. And it was such a cross for him, for Padre Pio, to bear those stigmatic wounds. He didn't want them to be visible. He's like, "Listen, I'll take the inward pains if you can just get rid of the outward signs. It's a heavy, heavy burden to me." And God said no to that prayer, thankfully, for so many people who were drawn to faith through them and through his miraculous life. And an announcement came out of the Vatican from the Pio Foundation. On Monday, this coming Monday, some never-before-seen photos of Padre Pio are going to be released. Now, maybe he's your favorite saint, and maybe some of you listening out there have even seen Padre Pio in the flesh. If so, I would love to hear about this. 888-914-9149. So, on Monday the 29th, the St. Pio Foundation is going to release 10 never-before-seen photos of Padre Pio. And this, the reason why they're doing this right now, why they're releasing the photos at this point, is because we're coming up on the anniversary, the 25th anniversary of Padre Pio's beatification. It took place on the 2nd of May in 1999. He's beatified by St. John Paul II, and he was later canonized on the 16th of June, 2002. So this event is called Photographs of St. Pio, Memories of a Saint. And it's also the 10th anniversary of the St. Pio Foundation. And the founder of this organization, by the way, is Luciano La Monarca. I want to make sure I got that right. Luciano La Monarca. And he actually kind of collaborated with Padre Pio's personal photographer on this. And his personal photographer is named Elias Deluto. And so these are high-resolution photos of Padre Pio, and they're going to be available for free. There's going to be a website, and anybody can kind of download these with the caveat that you can't use them to create commercial projects. So if you're running some sort of a business or you want to, you know, make Padre Pio posters for sale, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. But you can use these photos to spread devotion to Padre Pio. So I'm wondering, are these going to be especially unique? the nature of these photographs, because they're making a really big deal about this. They had a press conference at the Vatican. And by the way, this is the same foundation, the St. Pio Foundation, that you can go to their website, and it's stpiofoundation.org, and you can sign up through your email to get the personal letters from Padre Pio, because a number of his letters were made public, and some people have put them in book format as well. They're easy to find online if you want to order them in book form. And these are letters that St. Padre Pio wrote to his spiritual directors through the years, and also to his directees. A number of people went to him, of course, for spiritual direction. And I just love Padre Pio for so many reasons. And I always say his name wrong, but I think I got it right. It's Shia LaBeouf. Am I right, Patrick A. Locke? Did I say that correctly? I always want to say Shia LaBeouf, but it's not. It's Shia LaBeouf. But having said that, he, of course... oh, by the way, and yes, thank you, Patrick. Patrick wanted me to clarify that it's St. Pio Foundation. And the word saint is spelled out, S-A-I-N-T. Thank you, Patrick. It's not S-T-P-O Foundation. It's saint, spell out the word, stpiofoundation.org. So you can check that out, the official website of the Padre Pio Foundation. And Shia LaBeouf, of course, a famous actor who converted to Catholicism, starred in a Padre Pio movie. I still haven't seen that one. I don't know if you liked it or not, but I did really love the one that was put out a few years ago, Italian, I think, with subtitles by Carlo Carlei, and it's called St. Padre Pio Miracle Man, or Padre Pio Miracle Man. Awesome, awesome movie. Loved that movie. And just the sheer confluence of supernatural events in Padre Pio's life is wild. Not just the stigmata, but so many other things. And not too long ago on the program, we were talking about how there's a theory out there that sometimes when God is really up to something in human history, there are a lot of miracles that are conflating around those special periods in salvation history. Think about, of course, the time of the Exodus and all the miracles that God did using Moses, the Passover, and of course, our Jewish friends are celebrating Passover this week. Tomorrow on The Faith Explained, I something on the Passover feast today on The Faith Explained, if you missed it, we talked about the difference between the Passover feast and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, why the two feasts, and one really has to do with salvation, doing the jailbreak, getting them out of Egypt, and the other one has to do with personal holiness, becoming more like God. Okay, now that you're out, what sort of a life do you need to live? And this is exactly what God wants to do with us as well. Of course, the saving events of the passion, death, burial, resurrection of Christ, which we just celebrated Easter, setting us free from the power of sin, death, the devil. But then what do we do next? What do we do now? We've got to live that life of Christ. Be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So this is, and of course, it's not a sinless perfection. It's not impeccability. We're looking for perfection in love. And this is what all the saints did. And we've got to become saints as well. 888-914-9149. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about the Lamb of God, the Passover Lamb, because the Lamb wasn't just at the Passover time. The Lamb has been a theme all the way from Genesis all the way through to the last book in the Bible, Revelation. But anyways, more on that tomorrow. And I want to talk a little bit more about Padre Pio, because this is another time period in salvation history. Lots of miracles around the time of the Exodus, lots of miracles, obviously, during the life of our Savior and the early church period. Read the Acts of the Apostles, as we're doing during these Easter days, the Mass readings. God doing miracles through Peter, even his shadow falling on people, heal them. Well, in the 20th century, and as Cardinal Siri said, some truths about God had been forgotten. The 20th century was a very dark century in a lot of ways. And around the time when Padre Pio was on the scene, there had been a number of devastating events. The two world wars, of course, the Depression, so much loss of faith, the rise of communism, dictators, so many massacred, so many Catholic martyrs, more in the 20th century than in all the previous 19 combined. The Spanish Civil War and all the thousands of Catholic martyrs there. A lot of people don't even know about that. But Padre Pio's life is so important for our modern world. But he seemed like a medieval figure. In fact, a lot of people say that. They were so turned off by him. One of his harshest critics was a journalist who thought he was a complete charlatan who was just pulling the wool over people's eyes. And that guy, his life was changed by Padre Pio, and he became one of his biggest propagators. But miracles happened virtually every day of his life. There's some incredible recollections about these miracles put together by Deacon Bert Ghezzi in his book, Mystics and Miracles. And I mean, obviously he seemed to contradict laws of nature, go beyond them by location, appearing in more than one place at the same time. I'll tell you about one of those instances in just a moment. He was able to use kind of a mental telepathy to talk to friends. He would also enable people to, just like St. Therese of Lisieux, people have this, when she intervenes in their lives, there's this scent of roses. Sometimes actual roses are left behind. Well, with Padre Pio, people would smell violets. And that was kind of his thing. That was kind of, okay, that's my sign. Batman's got the bat signal. I've got the scent of violets. Okay. He could read people's thoughts. And he would freak a lot of people out. People would go to confession and he'd say, are you forgetting something? No, it was a totally complete confession. You're lying. You forgot about this. And then he'd describe in great detail all their sins. Oh, my goodness. Okay. He would predict future events, heal people who were deaf, who were blind, people who, there's an incredible, I hope I have time to tell this. I'll just tell it real quick right now. A woman came into the confessional. Her infant had died. She, just in complete distress, brought the infant in sort of a suitcase to Padre Pio. And he was incredibly moved by this, healed the baby, brought the baby back to life. And he actually was going to cry about this. He was so touched, but he was very gruff. He, as you might know about Padre Pio, he could seem pretty rough around the edges, but God used that personality trait of his in some positive ways. And sometimes Padre Pio would sort of be gruff on the outside to mask his tears. And when this baby was brought to him, he thought, he said to the mother, why are you so worried about this child? He's only sleeping. He's only sleeping. And then, see, he's alive again. He's fine. He's fine. He's totally fine. He was just asleep. Shades of Jesus saying about the young woman, of course, the daughter of Jairus. Oh, she's not dead. She's sleeping. Brings her back to life. But so many people thought that Padre Pio was something out of the medieval age. St. Joseph of Cupertino, the Flying Father. Who can believe this stuff? Is this along these lines? Well, yeah, absolutely. And then, of course, he would have these actual battles with demons, with the devil launching these incredible attacks against him, fights in his cell in his little room at night, and he'd be exhausted. He'd be having sleepless nights. He would be, there's a famous story about him battling a demon. I can't remember whether it was a demon or the devil himself, and he's having this manifestation fight against him. And chairs are flying. It's like a royal rumble or something. And Padre Pio sees his guardian angel standing in the corner. And he's like, why aren't you helping me? And his angel said, well, you were winning at the time. You're fine. So I'm not going to tag in unless you need me. But just so many incredible, miraculous events in the life of Padre Pio. I just want to talk about one of his earliest miracles that's known. In 1913... there was this incredible infestation in the crops of Pietrelcina, the bean crops in particular, and the town depended on these crops for its livelihood. There was an infestation of what were thought to be sort of lice. Okay, we can get lice in your head, I guess, and also in the bean crops. And they were just all over the plants. And one of the farmers said, Padre Pio, can you please pray for my crop? And he did, and as he was praying, with an audible sound, the lice would pop off of the plants. You know, they just dead. Then he went to the other farms, did the exact same thing. And the crop that year was a bumper crop, the best one they'd ever had. So this is one of his earliest known miracles. And of course, word got out about everything that he did. But of course, he's most known for the stigmata. And this happened, of course, on September the 18th. Of 1918. He was sitting in the choir. He was praying in the choir loft at his monastery. There was an old crucifix that was before him. And Padre Pio said that he fell into a deep sleep, a very peaceful sleep, and he saw an angel appear to him, and blood was oozing from the angel's hands, feet, and side. And he said later, I felt like I was dying, and I would have died If the Lord had not intervened to strengthen my heart was going to burst out of my chest. And when he said, when this mysterious creature left, he found that his hands, his feet, his side were pierced and were bleeding. And he said, quote, to this day, the wound in my heart bleeds continuously, especially from Thursday evening until Saturday. I'm afraid that I will bleed to death if the Lord doesn't hear my groans. Take these wounds from me. He can even leave the anguish and the pain, but let him take away these visible signs that are a source of embarrassment for me and an indescribable and unbearable humiliation. End of quote. And this is what we see with those who are truly holy, who are truly saints. They're not looking for this stuff. They are not looking to be some sort of a spectacle. Look at me. He's like, no, I don't want this. This is an unbelievably tough cross for me to carry. I'll take the inner pain. Sure, give me that, Lord. Nobody can see that. But please don't leave me with these visible marks of the crucifixion, the stigmata. But God did not answer that prayer in the affirmative. He answered it. He said, no, you have to keep them. You have to keep them. Very much like what our Lord said to St. Paul when St. Paul had begged for this cross to be taken from him, this suffering that he had in the flesh, whatever it was, and people speculated about it, and the Lord said, no, my strength is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. So you're just, this is going to be something that will give me glory ultimately. And that's exactly what Padre Pio did. But maybe you've got a Padre Pio story, how he's intervened in your life, or maybe you've met him personally. 888-914-9149. When we come back, I'm going to share with you a beautiful letter that Padre Pio wrote to his spiritual director and a mystical experience that one of his directees had with him. It'll blow your mind. I'll be right back on the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. Be right back.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the program. It's the Cale Clark Show, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. I've asked if any of you have ever actually seen Padre Pio in the flesh. Did you ever attend one of his famous masses? Did you ever see this saint? There's going to be some brand new, never-before-seen images of Padre Pio released by the St. Pio Foundation on Monday. Big Vatican press conference announcing this is going to happen on Monday the 29th. And of course, they're the same foundation. If you go to their website, you can access the letters of Padre Pio, which are pretty amazing. I promised you before the break that I would take your phone calls, which we'll get that in just a second. But I also wanted to share with you one of the most amazing things, which just typifies so many of the encounters people have had with Padre Pio, his relationship with Giovanni Rizzani Bosci and the Marchioness, Giovanna Rizzani Bosci. She was one of his spiritual daughters. And on January the 18th, 1905, and this is related in Bert Gezzi's book, on January the 18th, 1905, at that point, Padre Pio was still a young monk. He wasn't even a priest yet. And he was praying at a monastery, the monastery of St. Elia in Pianci. And this is when he had one of his bilocation episodes. He bilocated to the garden of a mansion. And in that mansion, there was a man named Giovanni Battista Rizzani who was dying. And he was kind of the patriarch of this family. He's on his deathbed. His wife was about to give birth. And of course, she was about to give birth to their daughter, Giovanna. So Leonilde, the mother, the family's dogs, they had all these dogs and they were kind of howling. They're making all this noise. Maybe they saw Padre Pio. I don't know, but who is this guy? Get him out of here. So she actually went to check out what are these dogs barking at? So she went out into the garden and while she was there, she was like, bad timing. The baby decided this is when I'm going to be born now. So she goes into labor in the garden and she delivers her baby. And whenever she remembered this, she always used to say that there was a young Capuchin monk that was there when I gave birth in the garden, when Giovanna was born. So she was born, Giovanna, on the same day that her father unfortunately passed away. Now, let's go back to Padre Pio. He's not Padre Pio at this point. He's Brother Pio. He tells his spiritual director about what happened. He said, look, I had this crazy experience. I somehow was in this garden, and I saw this child being born. Oh, and by the way, one other little detail I forgot to say. After I saw this kid being born, the Virgin Mary I also saw in the garden, and she talked to me. She said that this child, this baby, is a young woman who will become a diamond in the rough, a diamond in the rough. And you, Pio, you have to polish this diamond until she shines beautifully. And Mary said to Brother Pio, she will seek you out. She will come and find you one day. But first, you will meet her at St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. Okay. Whew. So Padre Pio relates this experience to his spiritual director. 17 years later, Giovanna is now a young woman, and she is having major league doubts about her Catholic faith. She has all kinds of questions, not sure she buys into it, not sure she believes it. So she goes, she travels to St. Peter's Basilica, and she's trying to find a priest. But the sacristan says, sorry, we're about to close down for the day. There's no priests anymore. They're all gone. They're all gone to get some pasta or whatever, some ice cream. I don't know. They're not there. And then she's like, okay, so she's kind of down. She goes to leave. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there's this Capuchin priest who, where'd he come from? And he says, no, my daughter, please step into this confessional. I will hear your confession, spiritual direction, whatever you want. So she goes in and she just kind of lays it all out there and just tells this guy everything about her life, all the questions that she has. And he gives her solid, solid material. She is very satisfied with what he tells her. And she's so happy about this. She wants to thank him. So she goes outside the confessional, waits for him to come out. But there's nobody there. There's nobody there. He's like a ghost. He's gone. Okay, she's like, that was weird. And then so the next summer, she hears about Padre Pio. She hears about this incredible stuff that's happening in his life. So she goes to try to find him at San Giovanni Rotondo at the monastery. And there's this huge crowd trying to see Padre Pio. And he walks by and he makes eye contact with her. And he says, Giovanna, I know you. You were born the day your father died. And then he walked away. And she's like, what the heck just happened? Whoa. Like, she's just absolutely blown away and shocked. Giovanna, I know you. You were born the day your father died. So the next day, she tries to find him. She seeks him out and goes to confession. And Padre Pio said to her, daughter, at long last you have come to me. I have been waiting for you for a long time. And Giovanna said, no, father, you're mistaken. I've never been here before. I never even knew you existed until just a few days ago. And he said, no, I am making no mistake. Last summer at St. Peter's, you asked a Capuchin priest to help you with your doubts about your faith. I was that priest. Then Giovanna recognized him, and she started, her heart was like just pounding. And then he continued, and Padre Pio told her, when you were being born, the Virgin Mary took me to your home. I witnessed your birth in the garden, and Mary entrusted you to my care and made me responsible to help you grow in holiness. And she told me that someday I would meet you at St. Peter's. So she was just like, wow, this is incredible. So she became his spiritual daughter. She eventually became a Third Order Franciscan. And when that happened, you would get sort of this new name. It's not like, when you're a Third Order, you're not fully, but sometimes you'll get a religious name. And so Padre Pio actually gave her a name as a Third Order Franciscan. And your name is Jacoba. And she's like, I don't like it. Can you pick another name? Jacoba, what's up with that? You will be called Sister Jacoba because, like Jacoba, the noble Roman friend who was present at the death of St. Francis, you will be present at my death. She's like, okay. So she remembered that because in September of 1968, she went to visit Padre Pio. And in the early morning of September the 23rd, she had a vision. She, I don't know if she bilocated or not, But she had a vision somehow. It was just a mystical vision. And she was in Padre Pio's cell in his room. And she saw him die. And she told one of the monks about it later. And she described everything that was going on at the time, what it looked like, what was on the table, everything. And they were like, yep, everyone who was there when he passed into eternity, they said, that's exactly what happened. You saw it happen. So how about that? So there's so many stories like that. We could fill days and days on Relevant Radio telling Padre Pio stories like that. But I wonder if any of you have actually had an experience personally with Padre Pio. 888-914-9149. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Let's go to Jeff in the Milwaukee area in Wisconsin. Hi, Jeff.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm great. Wauwatosa, did I say that right?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, okay. Hey, first try.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, so tell me about your experience.
Nothing like that.
That's pretty wild.
But when Dad was in the Air Force and we were stationed in Spain, actually, back in the early 60s, So on these leave, we would, for all of the holy places up in 8 or 9, we were able to attend one of his masses.
Okay, you're able to attend one of his masses.
And what I can remember as an 8 or 9 year old, attended the mass.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Jeff, I'm so sorry, Jeff. We're losing you on the phone call here. We're going to try to get you reconnected, okay? So Patrick is going to try to call you back. We're going to get you reconnected. We'll get you back on as soon as we can, okay, Jeff? So just hang tight. We will call your phone. We'll get you on a good connection here. I don't know what happened there, but maybe you're driving through a rough patch there. But Jeff in Wisconsin was at a mass celebrated by Padre Pio when he was about 8 or 9 years old. Want to hear about that for sure. Let's go now to Barbara in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Cale. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I enjoy listening to your program most every night.
Well, thank you, Barbara. God bless you.
I just want to tell you that I lost my husband in February this year.
And
he was a very sick man for quite a while. And when he was well, he was vice president of the Padre Pio ministry we have in here in Jacksonville.
Okay.
And he had very strong devotion to Padre Pio. And he actually had asked for to become a spiritual child of Padre Pio. So when he passed away, he was wearing the medal of Padre Pio.
Mm.
And the day of the funeral, we left the cemetery, and my stepson said to me, "Why don't we just go get something to eat?" So I said, "Let's go to this new restaurant down the street." And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And as we left the restaurant, we were walking out the front doors, and the wall on the side of the doors had a picture of Padre Pio on the wall.
Wow.
A restaurant. When you see Padre Pio on restaurant walls.
Yeah.
That many places.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that you took that as a sign, hey, everything's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I take it as a sign that he was in a good place because we just left the cemetery. He went straight to the restaurant.
Wow.
And like I said, he was wearing the medal of St. Padre Pio,
mm-hmm.
and he was always talking about him, and he had a very strong devotion to him for many years.
That's a beautiful story. That's a beautiful story. Barbara, I love that. He's going to a restaurant after the funeral and seeing an image of Padre Pio and maybe a place that he wouldn't expect. That would have been obviously a great comfort to you at that time, being as devoted as your husband was to Padre. And I'm so sorry for your loss, but that's something that probably eased your pain quite a bit, to think that, hey, Padre Pio is interceding and you know, he will help. And may your husband rest in peace. And thank you so much for listening to the program, Barbara. Thanks for calling in. I really appreciate you in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay, let's go to Illinois now. Let's go to Trixie in Illinois. Trixie?
Hey, I have a true Padre Pio miracle story that happened about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
A friend of mine who I go to adoration on Wednesdays, and I always would contact some of my people who had severely ill children.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends had a 24-year-old daughter who was had very severe cancer. So I called her and said, "Would you like me to pray for today?" And she said, "Well, Actually, they're hooking my daughter up to a ventilator today, and she has double pneumonia and lung scarring from the chemo, and she's not expected to live the weekend. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm right on it. And I said, you know, I went to a Padre Pio prayer group a long time ago, and there was a speaker who has a first-class relic because his grandfather was in the war and was stationed in Italy and knew Padre Pio and was able to bring back a relic before Padre Pio died. It was one of his bloody gauzes. And he lends it out for a source of healing. I said, do you want me to try to track this guy down? And she's like, yes. So it's like, oh, my husband and I were like, what was that guy's name? Where did he work? You know, it took us like a little while to figure it out, like where, how we knew this guy. Mm-hmm. So I left a message on his, one of his voicemails, and he called me back and he said, let's make this happen. So he said, I need a priest to come down from ICU and bring up the relic because I need the relic back, and I'll give them information. And so we found a priest that was willing to do this, and the priest came down, got the relic, took it up to the ventilator with the daughter, and the mom and the priest prayed over this girl with the relic for Padre Pio's intercession for about 45 minutes. I texted my friend like hours later, and I said, how did it go? And she said, that was amazing. And I'm like, well, when you get a chance to let me know what happened, give me a call. Well, about 24 hours later, she texted me and she said, there is no more pneumonia, no more lung scarring from the chemo.
Oh my goodness.
And she's doing great. She's off the ventilator. So at the next checkups for her chemo, they could find nothing wrong with her. So it's been over a year, and they think she's cancer-free. So within 24 hours, this had happened. So I think it's a true Padre Pio miracle, and so does everybody that's involved. But it's just amazing.
That is astounding. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah, Padre Pio is still working miracles through his intercession, through his relics. Unbelievable. Long after his death in 1968. That's incredible. And just the sheer confluence, again, we talked about a few minutes ago of the miraculous in Padre Pio's life. It really does harken back to the days of the Acts of the Apostles when handkerchiefs, you know, taken from Paul would heal people, the shadow of Peter on the sick. And Padre Pio really did remind people of the reality of the supernatural, of the gospel, of the passion of our Lord. Well, what a beautiful story. Thank you so much for calling in. That is absolutely amazing, Trixie. I really appreciate you in Illinois. Maybe you have a story as well. 888-914-9149. We've got Jeff back connected again. Jeff in the Milwaukee area. Hey, Jeff, I'm so glad we got you back on here. Hopefully you've got a good line this time.
Yeah, I hope so. As I was saying, we were able to attend one of his masses back in probably late 50s, early 60s. I was 8 or 9. And I remember going to the church, and we went on a Sunday morning, and it was packed. And just remember the veneration, and what an 8 and 9 year old can remember. Just kind of what I do remember, however, is after Mass, I believe it was only the men that were allowed back in the sacristy after Mass. And I remember we gather around. I don't know if there was another altar in there, but I just remember him just resting and trying to just compose himself and rest, because I'm sure it was such a strenuous thing at the time for him to go through this. And I do remember the mittens on his hands, although never up close. But it was just something that stayed with me over these many years. And it's been something, these places that my parents took us to, just something that I was always able, it was kind of like an anchor for me over the years, and just to relate, like, think back at those times and those sorts of occurrences that occurred when I was at a young age. Just wanted to share with that.
I'm so glad you did. I don't know if you can recall being a 9 year old there saying, man, did you think to yourself, this is really long? His masses would go on for 3 hours at times.
I'm sure I would have been reprimanded for misbehaving. I don't remember 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah,
but I do remember attending the Mass, and something that my folks were very keen on, as were my siblings as we got older.
Wow, that's amazing that you had this experience. What a great gift from your parents too. to be able to take you there. And you can say, wow, I went to a Mass celebrated by a saint. And hopefully we're all living saints. But that's amazing. Thank you so much for calling in. I'm so glad we got you back on the connection, Jeff. Appreciate you.
Well, thanks for taking the call again.
Oh, anytime. That was Jeff in Wisconsin. So he had a personal experience with Padre Pio. And maybe you have as well. 888-914-9149. We'll be right back. I got to take a quick break right now on the Cale Clark Show. 888-914-9149.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back to the program. 888-914-9149 is the number to call in. We've been talking a lot about Padre Pio during this hour because the Vatican, there was a press conference there this week saying that on Monday, this coming Monday, there'll be some new images of Padre Pio released that have never been seen before. The Padre Pio Foundation, Saint Pio, and spell out the word Saint, saintpiofoundation.org, has organized this with his official photographer. So this will be really interesting. And so many of you are sharing your Padre Pio stories. We talked about his life, his miracles. We'll get back to your calls in just a moment. But I did want to say this. I promised producer Jim I would do this because Jim's son Sebastian is going to become a Shakespearean actor this Friday. He's going to be appearing in Much Ado About Nothing school play. And you know that yesterday was Shakespeare. It was the 23rd of April. It was not only the day that Shakespeare was born in 1564, it's also the same day that he died, on April the 23rd, 1616. Here's a little clip from Hamlet featuring Kenneth Branagh, famous Shakespearean actor. Here you go.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing, end them, to die, to sleep, no more.
Oh, that's powerful stuff. Jim, is that what Sebastian's trying to do? That's a pretty high bar that Kenneth Branagh has set, but yeah. He's measuring up. I know he's going to do it. He's going to clear the bar.
He's doing a great job in his practicing, and he's going to be great. I'm very proud of him.
It's incredible stuff. Good stuff. And I know you've been practicing. You're a good dad. You've been practicing his lines with him. I love it. What a lot of people don't know about Shakespeare, though, is that in all likelihood, Shakespeare was Catholic. Yeah, talk about Shakespeare in Love, one of the many movies about Shakespeare. Shakespeare was in love with the church. The bard was a believer. I just love this. And one of the leading proponents of this view is Joseph Pierce, an English-born Catholic writer. He's a literary critic. He's also the editor of the Ignatius Critical Editions. Very, very cool stuff. You can go to that website, ignatiuscriticaleditions.com. He's also director of book publishing at the Augustine Institute, among many, many other things. And many books that he's written include this one, The Quest for Shakespeare. And he was interviewed not long ago in America Magazine talking about this. And he was asked about this question that even though many films about Shakespeare, like Shakespeare in Love, kind of present him as an Anglican, as a Protestant, there's some more recent productions. There's one called Will from TNT. Talks about his friendship with Catholics, like the Jesuit St. Robert Southwell, who was a martyr for the faith. And even as a Catholic himself, Shakespeare, a recusant, a Catholic in secret during Elizabethan England. And Joseph Pierce said, yeah, there's just so much scholarship that's being done on that. There's so much evidence for the Catholic Shakespeare. And Joseph Pierce was also asked about why some people still have trouble seeing Shakespeare as a papist. And here's how Pierce answered that question. He said, quote, "I think one of the problems is that we tend to read in a postmodern sense through our own pride and prejudice, if you will. We want to see Shakespeare reflecting back to us our own understanding of the world. So people opposed to Catholicism haven't really grappled with or fathomed that dimension." He says, look, I can see where people might say to me, hey, this is the pot calling the kettle black. You're a Catholic, so of course you're going to see Catholic stuff in Shakespeare. But if you read his stuff, if you read through the eyes of the author and you learn as much as you can about him, you can kind of prove Shakespeare's Catholicism by reading his plays and also biographically and historically through his life. Joseph Pierce says there's enough evidence beyond any reasonable doubt that he was certainly sympathetic towards Catholics and probably was a practicing recusant Catholic. So he just gives one example. Shakespeare purchased the Blackfriars Gatehouse in London in 1612, just before he retired and went back to Stratford-upon-Avon. And that was, as Pierce calls it, a notorious center for recusant Catholic activity in London. The gatehouse was in Catholic hands all the way from when the monasteries were broken up to when Shakespeare bought it 80 years later. Shakespeare insisted that John Robinson and Robinson's brother had left to study for the priesthood in Rome that same year. John Robinson should stay as the tenant, which basically guaranteed that that house would be used as a center of Catholic activity. So he wanted it to remain in Catholic hands, and his own hands were probably Catholic as well. So it's intriguing that, I just want to say one more thing about this. I'll put a link to this in the show notes. But he was asked, Joseph Pierce was asked about his favorite line in Shakespeare. And I really, really like this. He says, quote, "My favorite line, just plucking one, would be the line from King Lear's speech that begins, 'Come, let's away to prison, as if we were God's spies.'" Let's go away to prison as if we were God's spies. And he says that's an allusion to the Jesuits during this time, and they're sort of seen as God's spies. And also St. Robert Southwell, again, a martyr of this time, the English persecution against the Catholic Church. St. Robert Southwell wrote this poem called Decease Release, and he talks about Mary, the Queen of Scots, Catholic Queen Mary, being God's spice. I guess she was the original spice girl, God's spice. And when she was crushed, her fragrance rose to heaven like incense. And Shakespeare made that connection between God's spies and God's spice. Let us go away to prison as if we were God's spies or God's spice. So how about that? Catholicism really is the spice of life. How about that? All right, let's go back to the phones. A lot of you guys wanted to talk about Padre Pio. And by the way, should tell you, and thank you, Patrick Alog, for mentioning this, the National Shrine of St. Padre Pio in Pennsylvania is also a sponsor of the Saints Podcast from the Mary Beggars, our entertainment division here at Relevant Radio. Let's go to Karina in Orange County. Hi, Karina.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. So I wanted to share, a couple of months ago, I asked St. Padre Pio for intercession for a personal need. 2 weeks later, I can't tell if it was between dreaming or I saw him, but I went to sleep and then I woke up from my sleep. Mm-hmm. I was in my room and I clearly saw St. Padre Pio come in through a wall into my room. He came in the times of his youth with a dark beard, hovered over a little, kind of dancing above the ground towards me. And he had his hand elevated. His hand was covered with some kind of cloth. Mm-hmm. And he went right up to me. He took my cover down and he hovered over to my ear. And that's when I told him my problem, my issue, my concern. Mm-hmm. And when I saw him coming through that wall, I even did a, oh my goodness, am I seeing this? And clearly I knew I was in my room. I was originally sleeping, but I woke up and I almost want to say I maybe saw him with my spiritual eyes, but that was my experience. He came into my room and he hovered over specifically so that I can whisper in his ear what my concern is and how he can intercede for me. And it just, and that was my experience with St. Padre Pio.
So possibly in a dream, were you, do you think you were conscious when you saw this, or could it all have all been in a dream?
I feel like I was conscious because when I saw St. Padre Pio come in through my room, I was shocked. I kind of like held my breath, and I remember that feeling of being shocked but not scared. Almost like, is this really happening right now? And I was in my room with my covers, just as I always sleep. But I saw him come in with his brown, I don't know what to call it, his outfit. And had that rope around his waist, and he just kind of came in above ground to see me. And it was amazing.
And did you get an answer to your request?
You know, it was something that I asked for, that you can't necessarily see with the eye, something specific. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he interceded for me and did something for me, because I literally had this experience 2 weeks after I asked for his intercession, and I had not asked for that intercession before. And he was pretty quick, and it was amazing.
Karita, thank you so much for calling in and sharing your Padre Pio experience with us.
Thank you.
God bless you. That was Karina in Orange County. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149. Let's go to Maria now in Union, New Jersey. Hi, Maria.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Good.
I'm calling friends. Yeah, my friends, they very devoted to Padre Pio, and anytime something happens, they always ask for his intercession, and he answers. So when they went to Italy to his shrine, all the whole family saw Padre Pio, but they didn't say anything until after the visit. They all saw him. He was smiling at them. And I just wanted to say, if anybody ever goes to the shrine here in the United States in Bartow, Pennsylvania, where they have his relic of a, they have his replicate of where his like his tomb, underneath that in that marble casing is all the wrappings from the bleeding from his hands. They have all these wrappings in there. So I see a lot of people go there and pray for intercession for diseases, you know, family issues. And I hear he does answer. So if anybody's in the area, they should go take a look at Bartow, Pennsylvania, the shrine.
Maria, thank you so much for mentioning that. And this is the very shrine that we just talked about. The National Shrine of St. Padre Pio in Pennsylvania. Again, they sponsor the Saints podcast here at Relevant Radio. God bless you, Maria. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that. So if you're in that region, if you can get there in Bartow, Pennsylvania, you can check out that National Shrine of St. Padre Pio, and you can look it up online as well, of course. Let's go to Joseph in New Jersey. Hi, Joseph.
How you doing, Keel? I got a good one for you.
Sure.
I know of a case of two sisters. One sister needed a kidney, so the sister gave it to her. And she was in the hospital, but the doctor said it's failing. So they started, like, the family and friends were in the room, and they were praying the rosary. And all of a sudden, they smelt roses. And the sister jumped from the bed, like, and she says, "Who's the man in the brown robe?" And right after that, the doctor came in, and he says, "You know, she's starting to recover." And she got healed. And then they went on a retreat. And as they were looking out the window, they saw Christ crucified on the cross. Beautiful story. And also, the girl wanted to live next to her sister. So she went to the real estate, and it was in Jersey City, New Jersey. And ironically, the real estate name was Pio. And she wound up getting the house living next door to her sister. She was married, and she wanted to, you know, take care of her and stay with her. Beautiful story.
That's an interesting story for sure. Yeah, and wow, giving your kidney to your sister, wow, really giving of yourself, of course. And it's interesting that you'd mentioned, Joseph, the smell of roses, because as I'd shared earlier, very often people, when they encounter Padre Pio, they'd smell violets. That was kind of his signature. That's an intriguing aspect of that story that I kind of picked up on. So, hey, Joseph, thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
Okay.
That was Joseph in New Jersey. So yeah, so many of you have incredible stories about Padre Pio and his intercession. Certainly somebody that we can turn to in these times in which faith is in short supply, faith in the miraculous. It's easy to lose hope sometimes. And just hearing about the confluence of the supernatural, the sheer preponderance of the supernatural in his life, is a great reminder that God is real, that Christ really does intercede for us, that he loves us, that he is at the right hand of the Father praying for each one of us. And reading some of these letters of Padre Pio that he wrote to his spiritual director, that really comes through his encounters with Christ, and just the outpouring of love and peace and joy and forgiveness that Christ wants to give us, but we are so often indifferent to it. And Padre Pio, again, as Cardinal Siri said, was really sent to wake the world up at this time. So we look forward to these new images that are going to be released on Monday of Padre Pio. And thanks so much for tuning in to The Cale Clark Show. Jim Shaper produced. He's also apparently producing a Shakespeare play of sorts, you know, helping Sebastian to train for Much Ado About Nothing. And it was Much Ado About a lot of cool stuff on The Cale Clark Show today. Patrick Kalog took your phone calls. Hey, one more thing before I go. Go Leafs, go. Take it away, Michaela.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.